When he was a teenager, my next guest's career was inspired by seeing a balding, overweight man talking into a microphone. It might have been me. I don't know. He was hooked on broadcasting by that fabulous sight, and so he worked his way into the business and up the ladder until he's now the national investigative correspondent for NBC's Today Show, the music from which you just heard. And now he has a book that's full of life hacks and safety suggestions from his segments on that show. It's called Rawson to the Rescue. He's going to be in St. Louis on November 18th for the St. Louis Jewish Book Festival. Here's Jeff Rawson. Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Hey, how are you? I laughed out loud. That may have been me.
Well, yeah.
You never know.
I have to tell you, as I was looking through this and seeing the things that you've done for the Today Show and some of the stories that you've covered and some of the life hacks that you offer us, the one that got me was when you agreed to be buried alive in an avalanche. I want to know what that meeting was like. When your producers came to you and said, I have an idea for you, what did you say when they first suggested that?
I think my wife is the one that suggested it to them first. and by the way, I'm incredibly claustrophobic, so you can just double the danger to it. You know what? It's one of those things. It's like I'm such a wimp in my real life, but somehow when it comes to doing these stories that help people, I am willing to go to the ends of the earth. So I actually, I was actually okay with it, but it did freak me out in a major way. We were teaching people how to survive an avalanche, because a lot of people find themselves, a lot of skiers find themselves in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
So we gave the tips, and there's actually a little chip you can wear in your jacket, believe it or not. It's called a Reco chip that gives off a radio frequency. And they can find you in the snow, buried under the snow, if you just wear one of these little tiny microchips in your jacket.
Which brings me to my next question is, why don't we give that microchip to everybody who goes hiking or climbing in any of our national parks? Because at least 20 times a year, we get a story of some guy who didn't tell his friends he was going out that weekend, but he got lost and had to eat berries for 4 days.
Maybe he just likes eating berries. Consider that.
Yeah, I
agree. You don't have these come in some winter jackets. And when you go to the sporting goods store, you should ask for them. But if you're a hiker, you should be getting a jacket with the Reco chip as well. It's RECCO. It's a great little chip. And it comes stitched into the jacket. You never even see it.
And then do you have to alert the law enforcement authorities that you have one of those? I mean, or do they just...
No, one of the first things that the rescue crews do is pull out their radio frequency finder to look for the signal.
Uh-huh.
So they're hoping that you're wearing one. Sometimes if you're not wearing one, they just won't get a signal and they're still searching for you. But if they pick up a hit, it gets into you faster.
Gotcha. Jeff, in all of these stories that you've done for the Today Show, what have you learned that surprised you or changed your mind about something?
You know what? We do a lot of stories about people who are greedy. And I think what has surprised me most over the years is that there are two sort of classifications of people who are ripping you off or scamming you. One is incompetence, right? One is the air conditioning repairman who comes out who actually shouldn't be there and has no clue how to fix an air conditioning unit and ends up telling you you need, you know, 30 things that you don't actually need because that's all they know how to do is put in new parts, right? So that's one classification of people.
Yeah.
The other classification of people, which is bad because it's like the distinction without a difference, right? Either way, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. You're still paying a lot of money for something you don't need. But then there's the other classification of people that purposely come over your house to screw you. And they know what they're doing. There is a pattern. We get into it in the book about the little red flags to look for. There are some very specific things that they do that you can look out for. When they're trying to rip you off, and there are little things you can say back to them without creating a conflict. You know, a lot of my wife always tells me, you know, no one really wants to speak up because it makes it very uncomfortable. But I give you ways in the book of things to say that send a very clear but subtle message to the con artist. Go mess with the next guy.
Did you know?
So I've been surprised most about those people and how many of them there are.
Did you know those things, or did you have to learn them?
No, I didn't. I didn't know those things.
Yeah.
I mean, look, at the end of the day, I'm just a guy who's got a wife and kids trying to hold it all together, too. I'm not NBC's Jeff Rawson when I go home. I am the guy whose toilet broke, who's got to hire a plumber.
Yep.
And who doesn't want to get in trouble. And I have kids who are trying to kill themselves on a daily basis, jumping off couches and doing all this different stuff. So I'm just a guy like you trying to live and keep hold on to my money and hold on to my sanity and stay safe and keep my family safe. But I am in a very lucky position to have the massive resources of NBC and, you know, and to write this book, to go out and do all the things that we're scared of. Go see it firsthand. You know, I hate all the experts over the years who've gotten on TV and radio and been like, oh, don't panic. Like, their advice is don't panic. Well, I'm here to tell you that I've done a lot of the things that you're scared of. I've been in mock tornadoes. I've been in mock earthquakes. I've been in mock plane crashes. I've been in a flooded out car. You will panic. Even I panic, and I know things are coming. I've been buried alive, and I panic. The key is this book is trying to teach you to train your brain so after the panic settles in, you can fight through it faster, and you know what to do.
Yeah.
That's why I do it.
Yeah. Well, I think the two-word phrase that is least effective in the English language is calm down.
I hate that.
No one has ever been told to calm down.
Have you ever been in a fight with somebody where somebody tells you to calm down, and you actually calm down? It makes you angry.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Now, here's something else that you have in the book that I did not know until I saw my wife putting this into action. And you have it in the book, too. And I wonder if you learned it from your wife or from people who actually work in those situations. And that is that when you go in and buy a big ticket item, a dishwasher, a TV, something like that, that you can actually negotiate with the salesperson or the manager of that department, even in big box stores.
Yeah, I didn't know that, actually, and I actually learned this from one of the experts that we contacted, and I didn't believe her, so I made her go into the store with me, and I was wearing hidden cameras because I wanted to see if it really worked, to see if it did. And the truth of it, I always thought you can only negotiate in, like, mom-and-pop stores.
Yeah.
Not, you know, the big chains. But, yes, she went in and was able to negotiate hundreds and hundreds of dollars off the price. And the other really cool thing are these free apps, and in the book we tell you which ones to get. Free apps you can download right now that are price match apps, and that's the other thing these big stores do. If you can find it anywhere, anywhere, for cheaper, they will give you the price match price.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
That way you don't have to go around to a million stores. You just have to sit on your app. You want the Dell laptop, whatever model it is. Find it cheaper. They'll give it to you cheaper, usually.
Yeah. I know a lot of people have gone in and they've been scanning items, UPC codes, and then going on to Amazon and seeing it as cheaper there, which, of course, is leading to the death of retail in this country at a certain level.
Yes.
But that's why those stores say that they'll match it, because they'd rather, you know what, if it's $300 there instead of $338 here, we'll give it to you for $300 because
they're cutting their margin by a few percentage points, but who cares? We're still getting the sale.
At least we're selling it, and you're not getting it from Amazon instead of from us.
Exactly.
The great example of things like this in my life was years and years ago when my wife and I went to Sears. Remember Sears? It was a retail chain for a while. We went in there to buy a grill to, you know, put in our backyard. And my wife saw one there on display, and she said, okay, I want this one. And he said, okay, I'll go in the back and get you the box. And she said, no, we don't want to put it together. I want this one. And she said, no, ma'am, this is the display model. Well, I can't sell you the display model. She said, well, I'll tell you what. For $10, why don't you put together the one in back? Meanwhile, sell me this one. And the guy did.
Yes. Yes. That's right. The display model, it's one of the tips we give called the open box, which is the best way to save money fast. If you buy a TV, right, and you bring it home, and then you bring it back to the store, they have to reseal it and all that. They have to sell it at a discounted price. So if you just ask, if you just say, hey, do you have a floor model? Hey, do you have something that somebody returned that works perfectly, they just didn't want it, you can knock hundreds of dollars off the price. We did that in the book as well, and it works. I am telling you guys, these money-saving tips work, and we're talking about not $5 or $10. We're talking about hundreds.
Now, I want to talk to you about two stories that I noted in the book, one of which you say is the most popular piece ever, and the other one got you the biggest response ever. The most popular piece ever, you say, is the one in which you told people that they are sometimes buying used underwear.
Yeah, we had a...
Ew!
Yeah, it's pretty disgusting. It's actually, you know, it's like it's easier to write about this stuff than even talk to you about it. It's awkward to even talk about. I feel like the morality police are going to come after me.
Yeah.
We had a whistleblower, a woman who worked for a few Victoria's Secret stores, who told us, yeah, you wouldn't believe it, but women return their underwear and then the stores are reselling them, tagging them as new, and putting them back out on the sales floor. I didn't believe it. So my brave female producers went to a bunch of the stores, including Victoria's Secret, but they hit all the retailers. And in the book, we name names, so you can go into the book, Ross into the Rescue, and check out if your store is on the list. And we saw store after store, department store, chain after chain, retailer after retailer. They bought the underwear. They brought it back to the office. They like put baby oil on it. They did a bunch of stuff to it, so it was very obvious that it was used, right?
Yep.
And they put two little black dots on the back label of it, so we would know it's ours if it ended up back on the sales floor, but it's not something the store clerk would ever, see.
Yeah.
Or recognize. So they went back and they returned them a few days or a week later, and store after store put it. We watched them on camera, on hidden camera, put it back on the shelf. They'd re-tag it. They put a new tag on it and sold it as new.
Mm-hmm.
We went around, of course, and bought them in the end. And we got the stores to change their policy on that and retrain their staffs. And we actually went back months and years later to keep checking up on them. And I'm happy to say that they all pretty much cleaned up their act after our investigation.
I'm glad to hear that. You know, sweater, pants, shoes, return them, other people buy them. Okay, fine. Underwear? Ew.
It's so disgusting.
Yeah.
Gross.
Now, the other one that I mentioned, which got you the kind of response you didn't expect, but you got a lot of response on, was when you went out and investigated, do coin counting machines actually give you the correct amount on the display that you put in coins?
Yes. So we tested a CoinStar machines, and they actually were accurate. You know, those are the things in grocery stores.
Yep.
They were accurate. But then we went to TD Bank, and we tested all these TD Bank machines. And by the way, a lot of the stories in the book come out of my own personal experience, and I get pretty personal and pretty real in the book, stuff I've really never talked about before. It's on TV. There's no time to get into why I'm doing stuff.
Yep.
To get to it.
Right.
So in the book, it's... You know, in this case, it was me and my son were at one of these banks at one of these penny arcades, and I'm dumping in our loose change. You know how, like, whenever you have loose change, you put it into a jar or something?
Yep.
We dumped it into the machine, and I said to my son loved it, and I'm like, wait a second, who's to say this machine is counting it accurately?
Mm-hmm.
So I went into my team, and I said, we need to test these machines. So we went around, and we got all these coins, and we counted out a bunch of piles of $300 each. And we checked, we counted every single penny, pennies, quarters, nickels, dimes. And we knew each pile had $300 in it. We went to a bunch of penny arcades. Every single one of them at this bank chain was wrong, came back wrong. Some were off by 53 cents, some were off by a few dollars. One of the machines was off by $43.
Oh, man.
$43. And by the way, let me just point out, that of all the five machines, all five we tested that were wrong, not a single one was wrong in our favor.
Of course not.
It was all wrong in their favor.
Yeah.
And like, look, 53 cents may not make or break you, right? But think about all the people that go to those machines.
Yep.
Over and over and over, and how much money they were making. And think about if you were a penny short on your mortgage. You think they'd give you a break?
No.
No? So anyway, TD Bank ends up, because of our investigation, they investigated, they pulled them all out of service nationwide permanently. They literally couldn't figure out how to make them work, I don't think. And then the twist in the story. People were pissed off at me. Viewers were calling me names in the streets, saying, now you got these machines taken out. Now I have to roll all my own coins. How could you do this to me? And of course, I'm like, you're welcome. I just saved you money.
Yeah.
I mean, they were taking your money. Now it turns out a good deal of people will get ripped off for convenience. I had no idea. I'm not one of those people. Are you? What do you think?
Why didn't TD Bank contract with the CoinStar people?
Good point. Good question. CoinStar was accurate. Both machines we tested.
And by the way, I'm not so happy with the CoinStar people because I do the same thing. And every year, at the end of the year, I take the giant cup and I go and I pour it in there. And I trust them because, frankly, I'm too lazy to count the money myself.
Totally.
But I don't like the fact that CoinStar takes 8%. If you came to me and said, I will count your money, you got to give me $8, I'd go, $8? No, I'll give you like a buck and a half. But no, they take 8% off of there. But I did discover a way around that, and that is that some CoinStar machines, or maybe they're run by another company besides CoinStar that have the same technology, they will allow you to opt into a Starbucks card or an Amazon card for full value.
Oh, wow, that's pretty cool. That's really smart.
And some of them also allow you to donate that money to charity, which is also a nice little thing. So
that's awesome.
So if you ever do a follow-up report on Rawson Reports, go check that out, because I think that's an interesting thing, particularly at the holidays, which is probably when people are looking around the house for extra cushions between the extra coins between the cushions
totally.
And the couch.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a story idea.
There you go. Jeff Rawson's going to be in St. Louis at the St. Louis Jewish Book Festival. On November 18th, you go to jccstl.com, and you can find out about their whole schedule. His new book is available everywhere. It's called Rawson to the Rescue. And, of course, he's also on the Today Show, if not every morning, pretty much every morning, with all of the Rawson reports that he does on an ongoing basis. Jeff, pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks so much for having me, and I can't wait to be in St. Louis. Love that town.